Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tzadik Beis, and we are at the Mishnah, about 15 lines from the top of Daf Tzadik Beis, Amud Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shloim Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, and Yael Bas Bela. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Ichil Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So the Gemara is continuing with another Mishnah that discusses the halachos of haitzah. So one thing is clear. Haitzah is only one of 39 malachos. It's the 39th malacha. Chronologically, according to one man, the Amar anyways, it's the only malacha that the Yidden didn't get in Mara, meaning it would be the last of the Lamites malachos that the Yidden received. Additionally, Tosfos says throughout Shas, twice on Shabbos Tabez Amud Aleph, that Haitzah is a Malacha Geruah, yet it takes up a disproportionate amount of space in Masechet Shabbos. So it's Mishnah after Mishnah, Perek after Perek, more Halacha is related to the Malacha of Haitzah. Says the Mishnah, HaMoitzi, if somebody carries something, Bein B'yamino, whether he did it with his right hand, Bein B'smoilu, if he carried it with his left hand, B'toich Keiko, if somebody carries something while it's in his lap, Oyak Seifov, or if it's on his shoulders, Chayiv, the Halacha is, he's going to be chayiv. How do I know that? Shekein masa b'nei kahas, because the b'nei kahas, one of the families of Leviim, their job was to carry the aron, the menorah, the shulchan, and the tumas beiches. And the way they carried it was on their shoulder. The pasuk says, "V'levnei kahas loy nosan ki avodas hakodesh aleihem." So the way that they carried the clay hamikdash was on their shoulders. You see from here that carrying on your shoulder is a normal way to carry. As a result, if somebody would carry that way on Shabbos, from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid, Da'alad Amas B'Rishos HaRabim, Da'aloch is he would be chayv. So the Mishnah said four things and seemingly brought a raya to one. If somebody carries with his right hand, he's chayv. With his left hand, he's chayv. If he carries while the item he's carrying is in his lap, he's chayv. If he carried while it's on his shoulder, he's chayv. And what's the makar? Masa b'nei kahas. In masa b'nei kahas, all you see is that carrying on your shoulder is considering carrying. Stating that, take a look at Rashi, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, where Rashi brings from one of the Rishonim who said that maybe not from Kahas, but from the Parsha of carrying the Klei HaMishkan, you have a Raya, not only to the point that the Mishnah made that carrying on your shoulder is considered carrying, but everything else mentioned in the Mishnah would be considered carrying as well. Kalacha Yad, what if somebody carries Kalacha Yad? So Kalacha Yad is a category that's often quoted in Hilchos Shabbos and in other areas of Halach as well, and that is if somebody does something in an unordinary way, meaning you do it somewhat in the unconventional way, with a shinoi. So what are examples of Kalacha Yad? Biragloi, if somebody would carry something while it's on his foot, befiv in his mouth, the marpakoi under his arm, ba'oznoi in his ear, ubasairi or in his hair, ubipundesoi, or if somebody would carry something in his money belt, upia lamata, where the money belt was facing downward. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Bein pundesoi l'chalukoi, or if somebody would carry something and that thing was between his shirt and the money belt that he had around his shirt, ubesfas chilukoi, or if he would carry something inside his hand, b'menali ubesandloi, if it was inside his shoes, d'aloch is pater. All these ways of carrying is pater, and the reason is shalei hoitzi k'derech hamoitzim, because in this case it was done kilachayad. It wasn't done in the normal way, and being that it wasn't done in the normal way, in this case you're going to be pater. Either way, the topic of the Mishnah was very simple. Carrying in unconventional methods. Is that considered Haitzah or is that not considered Haitzah? And the short answer is, it depends. Sometimes it is considered Haitzah, sometimes it's not considered Haitzah. The Mishnah gave four examples where it is Haitzah, and then the Mishnah gave a longer list of examples where it's not considered Haitzah. Now, why is carrying in an unconventional way not considered Haitzah? So, Pashat, it would seem reasonable to think it's because one of the important klalim in Hilchos Shabbos is Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. Being that the makar to the Lamites Melachos are the Melachos that the Yidden did when they were building the Mishkan, When the Yidden built the Mishkan, they had professionals, Maisei Choshev, artisans, were the ones that built the Mishkan. They did their melachos in the shensta and the best way. So from there we learn that the only time one is chaya for doing a melach on Shabbos is if he does it in that way. He does it meleches machsheves asra Torah. That's the makar teshitas Rab Shimon, that dover she'en is chavan on Shabbos is mutter. It's the makar teshitas Rab Shimon that a melacha she'en tzricha legufa is potter. It's the makar to the idea that if somebody does a malacha with a shinoi, if somebody does a malacha kila'achayad, it's not going to be considered a malacha. But the truth is, we've spoken that in the past for Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan, in a piece in Kovet Shiurim, in Masechtas Psachim, says that the truth is, this idea of kila'achayad is not exclusive to Hilchos Shabbos. You really find this in other areas of halacha as well. So if the Torah says you're not allowed to eat nevela, what if somebody eats shalei kederech achila? Or shalei kederech hana? So there are many sugyas in Shas outside the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, where there is no din of meleches machsheves asra Torah, where you find that if I do something in an unconventional way, it's not considered that I did the melacha. So if that's the case, says Rabbi Chanan, you could say even more pashut. You don't have to come on to meleches machsheves asra Torah as it relates to why a melacha on Shabbos kalachayad is not considered a melacha. Because the truth is, Shabbos should be no worse. It should be like gar from any other isra Torah. And by all these siurei Torah, there's a rule that if you do something in an unconventional way, it's not asr. And if you think about it, just from a philosophical standpoint, it's a little bit of a chiddush. Meaning, when the Torah says, thou shalt not eat nevela, what the Torah meant was, don't eat nevela in the ordinary way. In the way that people would eat nevela. If I can come up with a loophole, like hire an attorney, and he figures out how I could eat nevela without eating nevela in the conventional way, midday rice, I wasn't over anything. Because when the Torah said, don't eat nevela, the Torah didn't just mean, don't consume nevela. The Torah meant, don't eat nevela kederech achila, in the way that people usually eat it. And it's true for every single one of the Yisurei HaTorah. And if that's the case, it would be true for the Yisurei Shabbos as well. Either way, that's just Pasha Pshan of the Mishnah. This next Gemara is a classic. Amar Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Loza said, Amoitzi Masui Lamaila Measar Tvachim Chayiv. If somebody carries something outside in a Rishus HaRabim, he was holding this thing that he was carrying, obviously, and it was Lamaila Measar Tvachim. The halach is, he's going to be Chayiv. How did he know that? Shekei Masa B'nei Kos. You learn it from the B'nei Kos. The B'nei Kos carried the Klei HaMishkan, and when they carried the Klei HaMishkan, it was more than 10 tfachim above the ground. And if that's considered carrying, so too, if a person would carry anything, l'mayla me'asara tfachim and rishus harabim, it would be considered. Now, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, in light of some of the gemaras that we saw in the beginning of the Masechta, and we're going to see it again in a week or so, and that is, there's a rule that rishus harabim only goes up to 10 tfachim. So any airspace above 10 tfachim in a rishus harabim doesn't really have the halachic status of a rishus harabim. So really, it's a chiddush, because if you're carrying something and you're holding it more than 10 tfachim above ground, then really that item that you're carrying is not in the Rishus HaRabim. You're in the Rishus HaRabim, and you're holding the item, but the item itself is not in the Rishus HaRabim. So if that's the case, why should you be chayiv? That's the chiddush. Hamoitzi masui l'mayla me'asara tfachim, even though l'mayla me'asara tfachim, that airspace in a Rishus HaRabim doesn't have the halachic status of a Rishus HaRabim. Doesn't matter. The halach is going to be chayiv, and we have a makar to it. The makar is Masa B'nei Kos. This is the second thing we learn from Masa B'nei Kos. Number one, carrying something on your shoulder is not kilachayad. It's considered a normal way to carry. And number two, if you carry something, Dalad Amis B'Rishus HaRabim, L'mayla Me'asar Tvachim, it's going to be considered carrying. Says the Gemara, Masa B'nei Kos Minolon. How do you know that the B'nei Kos, when they carried what they carried, it was L'mayla Me'asar Tvachim? So again, the B'nei Kos carried the Kli HaMishkan, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Aroin, and the two Mizbechos. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you how I know that, because the Chassid, the Pasuk says, Ala Mishkan, Vala Mizbech Saviv. And that Pasuk puts the Mishkan and the Mizbech next to each other. Makish, Mizbech, Mishkan. So when Makish, the Mizbech, to the Mishkan, Ma Mishkan, Yud Amis, just like the Mishkan was 10 Amis tall, Af Mizbech, Yud Amis, so the Mizbech was 10 Amis tall. So the Mishkan, Gufim, you know, how do you know the Mishkan was 10 Amis tall? The Chassid, that's a Pasuk. Eser Amis, Erech HaKarash. Because the Krushim, these were the beams that made up the walls of the Mishkan, they stood 10 Amis tall. Point is that if the Mishkan was 10 Amis tall, that means the Mizbech was also 10 Amos tall. Okay, Viksimin, the Pasuk says, Vayifrois es ha'oil ala Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the Vayifrois in that Pasuk, he took the oil, that was one of the curtains that covered the Mishkan, and he spread it out on top of the Mishkan. Amar Rav, Rav said, Moshe Rabbeinu, parsa, you see from there, must be that the Levim were 10 Amos tall. from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu spread the oil on top of the Mishkan, that's proof that the Levim were all 10 amos tall. Sounds like a leap of faith. How do you draw that line? It's because if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take the oil and spread it out on top of the Mishkan, assuming he didn't use a ladder, it means he was tall enough, or at the very least had the wingspan to be able to do it. So if that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu would be 10 amos tall. If Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amos tall, probably all the Levim were 10 amos tall. Okay, so if that's the case, so we see that the Levim were 10 amos tall. We're not done yet. V'gemiru, we have a Mesoira, the chol tuna, the midli b'moitais. Anytime two people carry something on poles, tilsim mila'el, so a third of the thing that they're carrying is going to be above the poles, v'trei tilsim mila'tachas, and two-thirds of it is going to be beneath the poles. Bottom line is, ishtakach, if that's the case, that'd be midlatuva. If the Levim, the b'nei kahas, were 10 amos tall, and they carried the mizbechas, let's say, on the poles that the mizbeach had, and two-thirds of that was beneath ground, but one-third of it was on top of their shoulder length. So if that's the case, one-third of the 10 amos was above, but two-thirds was beneath. The point is, it's way more than 10 tfachim above the ground. You're talking about people that are 10 amos tall, and they're carrying something on their shoulders, which then means that the thing they're carrying is going to be a lot more than 10 tfachim off the ground. So what do you see from there? That even though 10 tfachim ordinarily in a Rishus HaRabim, anything above that, that airspace is not really considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, but as it relates to the Malacha Vaitzah, HaMoitzi Masu L'mayla Me'asar Tfachim, the halacha is, you're going to be Chayiv, says the Gemara of Iba Yaseimo, alternatively you can learn it from somewhere else. Meaning, instead of learning it from the fact that the Bnei Kos carried the Mizbechos, and the Mizbechos had poles, and we know the Mizbechos was 10 amas tall, how do you know that? Because the Mishkan was 10 amas tall, and if that's the case, one-third was on top, two-thirds were on bottom, and we know that the Bnei Kos were 10 amas tall because Moshe was 10 amas tall. So Moshe was 10 amas tall means all the Levim were 10 amas tall. There's a simpler drasha. That is, you can learn it from the Aron. Amamar, Aron Tisha, Vekapoiris Tefach, Harei Kanyo, the Aron was 10 amas tall. Ugmiri, and we have the same rule. The Chol Tuna, the Midli, B'maitois, Tilsa Mil'el, V'trei Tilsa Mil'era. So it's the same thing. The Aron was also carried with the Badei Aron. It was carried with the poles. And if that's the case, one-third of the height of the Aron was on top, two-thirds of it was on bottom. The B'nei Kos were again 10 amas tall. So if that's the case, ishtakach de lemaylam yod havas. So you see, it's way higher than ton tfachim off the ground. Says the Gemara, v'ligomer mi moisha. V'eit the Gemara, why, according to this pshat, did we learn it from the Aron? Why couldn't we simply learn it out from Moshe? Meaning, once we knew that Moshe was 10 amas tall, like in the first pshat, why couldn't we learn it out from Moshe here? So the Gemara says, because the Gemara thought, duma Moshe shani, maybe Moshe was different. Amamar ein ashchina shayra el al chacham gibar v'asher u'bal koyma. Could be, was Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu that was so tall. But it's possible that all the other Levim really weren't that tall. Why would Moshe be different? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. And the rule is, Ein Shechina Shoyro, El Al Chacham, Gibar, Asher, somebody that's smart, somebody that's strong, somebody that's wealthy, and a Baal Koyma. So Moshe was an anomaly. So according to the Ibai Seima, we don't want to have to come on to Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rav, Mishum Rabchiyo, HaMoitzi Masi B'Shabbos, HaRosh. If somebody carries somebody on top of his head on Shabbos, Chayiv Chatos. The Lach is going to be Chayiv Chatos. Shekein Anshei Hutzel Oisekein. Because the people in Hutzel used to carry things that way. So the people in Hutzel used to carry things in baskets on their head. So you see, in Hutzel, it's a way of carrying. So any person that carries that way is going to be Chayiv. Eitik Marva, Anshei Hutzel, Ruba Da'al. What? Anshei Hutzel is right over the world. So whatever happens in Hutzel suddenly dictates what the halacha is going to be in the whole world. So the Gemara says, you're right. Eli Yitma, Hachi Yitma. Must be we have a mistake. If a member of Hutzel would carry something on his head, B'Shab is Chayiv, he would be Chayiv. It's Tafka, someone from Hutzel, that would be Chayiv. You're right. Somebody that's not in Hutzel, this wouldn't be true for. But for somebody in Hutzel, this would be the halacha. How do you have a right to say that the halacha in Hutzel is different than it is in all other places? Maybe for people in it, being that for most people carrying something on your head is not a normal conventional way of carrying, so maybe even if you come from a city where people do carry that way, it shouldn't be considered carrying. Why don't you say bakla daita yetzel kol adam? Sitting Mara says, you're right, that's also true. Take three. Ela I itmar hachi itmar, the third version of this halacha. If somebody carries something on his head, potter, he's going to be potter. And even in Hutzel, you're going to be potter. Even with that's the derech to carry. Why don't you say in Hutzel, that's the way they did it, it should always be that way. Teretz is, because it's a rule of batla daita yetzel kol hadam. Now the truth is, not for today, but just to speak out that the Rishonim are medayik something very important from this Gemara. And that is, that really, throughout Shas, you do find this idea that the minhag could be different, or the halacha could be different for one place based on what the custom is in that place. Just as an example, the Gemara says in Kedushin that ha'omer charufasi biYehuda harezo mikudashes shekain biYehuda koyren laharusa charufa. So when somebody marries a woman, kesef shtar bia, there was an amira component that had to come along with the ma'isa kedushin. Hareat mikudashes li betabazu kedas moishav Yisrael. This is Kedushin 101, and the Gemara talks about different lishoinos, different nuschais, whether it's considered a lashon of kedushin or it's not considered a lashon of kedushin. So one of the examples that the Gemara gave was a charufa milashon shivcha charufa. So it's somewhat synonymous with marriage, and it's a word that on some level seems to suggest the concept of marriage. So what happens if somebody goes over to his wife under the chuppah, and instead of saying Hareyat Mikudeshes Li B'Tabasu Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael Hareyat Charufasi, so it's going to be a big tumult. But let's say somebody would say that. So the Gemara says it depends. Where did this chasana happen? If it happened in a local chasana hall, she's not going to be Mikudeshes. But if it happened in Yehuda over there, yeah, because in Yehuda that was the sprach. That's the way people used to talk. So the Rishonim asks that you see clearly, that's just one example. There's many examples of this, but you see clearly that sometimes a halacha can vary from place to place based on what the custom is. So if in Hutzel, the people used to walk in the shuk, you know, carrying apples on their head. So why, if somebody does that on Shabbos, is he going to be potter? You should say he's going to be chayiv. Because roiv of the world doesn't do that. Roiv of the world doesn't refer to their kala as a charufa. But in Yehuda they did. And that's why, oimer hareyat charufasi b'Yehuda, that loch is it's a kedushin. So why do you say the same thing about Hutzel? So there's different suggestions in the Rishonim. The Ran, in the Chedushi Aran, on this Gemara says that it could be the Teretz is because Hutzel was maybe a very small place. And being that Hutzel was a very small place, it wasn't kaveya any dinim for itself. Interesting. So in order to have your own minhag hamakom, in order for your halachos to be unique based on your customs, you have to have a certain minimum population. It has to be a certain census. But if you're too small, you're just a small little suburb, then you don't count enough for you to be able to convey your own halacha. Yehuda was a region. Oh, Yehuda. So whatever went in Yehuda, there's no reason it shouldn't be able to convey its own dinim. Hutzel, even though it's a place that appears many times in Shas, but says the Ran, it was insignificant. And being that it was so small, so it could be over there, because of its size, the halacha is going to be different. Either way, more halacha is related to Hutzel. If somebody put something, he attached something to his belt, for example, and he wanted it to be in front of him, and as he walked outside, and it turned out that it was behind him, the halacha is potter. He's going to be potter. Interesting. Even though he had in mind to carry this, but he wanted it to be in front of him, it ended up being behind him. And being that it ended up being behind him, he never did what he had kavanah to do. As a result, he's going to be potter. Again, this person had in mind to carry. He just thought the thing that he was carrying that was attached to him was going to be in front of him. It ended up being behind him. He's going to be potter. Rashi says, why? Havalei kemesasek. Because you have a din of a mesasek. You never had in mind to even do what it is you did. You had in mind to do something similar, eerily similar, equally as terrible. But at the same time, what you did is not what you had in mind to do. And what you had in mind to do, you didn't do. It seems so subtle. I wanted it to be in front, it ended up being in the back. It doesn't matter. Talach is going to be potter. La'acharav, ubalei lefanav. What if you had in mind to carry it behind you? You ended up carrying it in front of you. Chayiv. Over there, you're going to be chayiv. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. The emes amru. Ha'isha ha'chigeres besinar. A woman that's wearing a sinar. Rashi says, ke'en mechnesayim ketanim. V'chigeres oisoy letznios. So this is something that a woman would wear, litznius. So the halacha is, if she would be carrying something inside her sinar, bein milfan, now it doesn't matter if it was in front, umelacharev, she put it behind her, chayeves, either way she's going to be chayev. And the reason is, she came royally as chayev. Meaning, if you thought it was going to be in the front, the woman did, it ended up being in the back, it's not a reason to be potter, because the assumption is that it would move around. So putting it in one area was done with the das that eventually it might move. But if you attach something to your beged, for example, thinking it's going to be in front of you, ends up being behind you, that's misasek, and in that case, you're going to be potter. Rabbi Yehuda says, af mekabli piskin. The same is true for couriers, people that used to carry different mail or packages. So if somebody puts something in front of him and end up moving behind him and he carried that way on Shabbos, the halach is he can't say, oh, I wanted it to be in front and end up being in back. I'm a mesasik. The halach is he's going to be chayiv. Zok the Gemara. So the first halach of the Mishnah was someone had a mind to carry one way, he ended up carrying another way. Is he chayiv or is he potter? It depends. If you had a mind for it to be in front of you, ended up being behind you, you're going to be potter. If you had a mind for it to be behind you and ended up being in front of you, you're going to be chayiv. Freak the Gemara. The obvious question. Why is it that if you put it in front of you, ended up going behind you, you're potter? Because you're a mesasik. Because what you had a mind to do, you didn't end up doing. So you should say the same thing in the reverse. In the case where you had a mind for it to be behind you, it ended up moving in front of you, dear too, you should be the same mesasik. You didn't end up doing what you had a mind to do. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, you're right, it's a good question. Tavra, very big chiddush. He said, Misha Shanozu, Loi Shanozu. Even though it's two lines in the same Mishnah, it sounds like one continuous halacha. It doesn't matter. The Reisha and the Seifa are at odds with each other. And in fact, the one that said the halacha in the Reisha didn't say the halacha in the Seifa. It's two different tanoim in this Mishnah. Amar Rava, Rava said, Rabbi Lazar, you had him say such a doichik. Misha Shanozu, Loi Shanozu. What bothers you about this question so badly? My kushya, I don't hear the kasha in the first place. Dilma, Lefanav Abali Lachrav. Maybe if when you put it in front of you, ended up going behind you. I know time of the potter reason. The potter didn't schaven l'shmir. Ulav also b'yad l'shmir b'chusa. Because if you're going to carry something in front of you, you'll be able to watch it. If the thing is going to go behind you, you're not going to be able to watch it. Meaning, carrying something in front of you is considered a shmira ma'ula, to borrow a Bava Kamma word. But to carry something behind you, you're not able to watch it as well. As a result, it's considered a shmira p'chusa. So you're a misasik on a shmira p'chusa. I didn't want to watch a shmira p'chusa. I wanted to watch a shmira ma'ula. So it's for that reason that if it was in front of me and then it went behind me, the halach is I'm going to be potter. However, what would be in the reverse case? La'achra, what if I put it behind me? Ubalay l'fanav. Hainu time in the chayv. The reason I'm chayv is in the schavan the shmira p'chusa. V'yalsa v'yaday shmira ma'ula. Because in that case, I was okay with it being behind me. So certainly I'd be okay with it being in front of me. See, if I put it in front of me, that means I dafka want it in front of me. I don't want it behind me. So I was loy neschaven for it to be behind me. So if I end up carrying it behind me, I have a din of a mesasik. I'm going to be potter. But if I put it behind me, that means I don't care so much. I don't feel like I need to watch it so much. But I'm certainly okay with watching it. I would certainly want it in front of me. Why not? I can watch it even more. So over there, the umdana is that even though I put it behind me, I'm certainly okay with it being in front of me. That's why the halach is, you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Lazar, this is so obvious, what Rava just said, that when Rabbi Lazar made the comment, Misha Shanazul, Shanazul, that there's two Tanam talking in this Mishnah, he could have been referring to this halacha. The Reish and the Sefer makes sense. One halach is one way, the other halach is the other way. Elo, my kushya, do you get the Masis and Kasha? Rabbi Lazar was borrowed with something else. He had a diuk in the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? If someone had a mind to carry it in front of him, he ended up carrying it behind him, he's potter. It sounds like if you had a mind to put it behind you, and you carried it behind you, you're going to be chayiv, for sure. So what was the kasha? Ima seifa. The seifa says, la'achruv abalai lefanav u'dechayiv. If you had a mind for it to be behind you and it came in front of you, you're going to be chayiv. It sounds like, la'achruv abalai la'achruv potter. If you had a mind for it to be behind you and you ended up carrying it behind you, in that case, you're going to be potter. See, we have a blatant contradiction. I mean, not so much as the Gemara is going to be doiched in a moment, but at least the Gemara's question is that the two halachas at first glance seem to contradict each other. Because you have two halachas that at first glance don't stim. If someone puts something behind him, he had a mind for it to be behind him, and he carried it behind him. Are you going to be chayiv or are you going to be potter? We have a mashmois, you'll be chayiv. We have a mashmois, you're going to be potter. It was on that. Amar Rabbi Lazar, that Rabbi Lazar said, Tavra Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. You have to say that, you're right, there's a stira in the Mishnah, and the two Tanoim of the Mishnah are two different. Amar Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi said, my kushya, I don't understand the question. Dilma Leimi Bayakamar. Why is this a stira? There may be a very simple answer, because you could always say that what the Mishnah meant to say was as follows. That's poshid. If you had a mind for it to be behind you and it went behind you, you're going to be chayiv. This avi the machshavtoi. That's pashat. I feel the achrav balei lefan of it shrichalei. Meaning, what was the deek? The deek was if you would put it behind you and it goes in front of you, you're chayiv. Oh, it's mashma. If you would have put it behind you and you would have carried it behind you, would have been pashat. No, just the opposite. It was pashat that if you put it behind you and you carried it behind you, that you were going to be chayiv. The chiddush is even if it moved, so you would have thought la'yisav the machshavtoi may be there. El afilu la'achrav balei lefan of it shrichalei. So that the chaminu hayv la'yisav the machshavtoi chayiv kamash malon din ischavim l'shmir p'chusav also l'shmir. That's the chiddush, that even though you didn't have a mind to do it, but you had a mind to do a shmira, and you ended up with a better shmira, as long as you end up with a better situation, the halach is, you're going to be chayiv. Bottom line, says the Gemara, la'achrav ubalay la'achrav tanoi. It could be that really this shaila this shaila of la'achrov ubaloi is a machloikis tanon. The Gemara is going to explain. Tanya, we learned to the braisa. Hamaitzimois bepundesai. If somebody carries money inside his money belt, upia lemaila, and the opening of the belt. So apparently there was an opening, obviously, where you put the, take the money out of, you put the money into. So if it was lemaila, was facing upward, said aloch is chayiv. Why not? Piel amato, if it's facing downward, Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv, v'chachamim poitur. The Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be chayiv, the chachamim say you're going to be potter. Now, what would be the svara that you should be potter? Because you're carrying it somewhat shalei kederech, because usually you don't carry a wallet upside down. You don't want your money to fall out. So obviously it's shalei kederech. So based on that, that would be the svara that the chacham would say pot. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda told the chachamim. So again, we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. If somebody carries a money belt, piel lemato. Chayiv or Potter? Rabbi Yehuda says Chayiv, the Chachamim say Potter. So Rabbi Yehuda told the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda said Chayiv, told the Chachamim that Potter. Yet the Maidim la'achrov, ubaloi la'achrov shehu Chayiv. Are you Maidim if you put it behind you and it would stay behind you that you would be Chayiv? So if carrying something behind you would make you Chayiv, then carrying this wallet, this money belt, with it facing down, should also be Yuchayev. They're both unconventional. If Yuchayev here, you should be Chayev there. I'm going to come and talk to Rabbi Yehuda. Aren't you Moida? There is a concept of Kalachia. It's not true every time you do something unconventionally, you're going to be Chayev. There are times you're going to be Potter. So how do you know which category of unconventional this is supposed to fall into? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Ani amarti dover echad, vehem amru dover echad. So Rabbi Yehuda commented on this machlokes. You don't always get this much inside access as to what went on behind the scenes. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this, we had a machloikist. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. I said something, and the Chachamim said something. I had no way to answer what the Chachamim said. And they had no way of answering what I said. Okay, says the Gemara. So the Gemara makes one subtle dig from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda told the Chachamim, are you not moided to me that if I put something behind me, I end up carrying it behind me? The halach is that I'm going to be chayiv. You know, it sounds like maybe the Chachamim Taka don't agree. Maybe they hold you a potter. Rabbanan hold you would be potter in that case. Says the Gemara, just to stop for a second, this is the Makar, this is what the Gemara means, that maybe there's a Machlokes Tanan. A Machlokes Tanan, if I have a mind to carry something behind me and I carry it behind me, am I going to be Chayiv, am I going to be Potter? Again, we're talking about two different things. Having a mind to carry something behind me and carry it in front of me, having a mind to carry it behind me and carrying it behind me. We're discussing having a mind carrying it behind me and carrying it behind me. There's a Svar that you should be Potter. Why? Because it's like a Kalachayad. Because it's somewhat unconventional, or maybe not. Maybe you should be chayiv. So Rabbi Yehuda seemed to feel that if the halach in that case is that you would be chayiv, he would have a good time on the chachamim. If that's the case, it sounds like maybe the chachamim taka hold that you're going to be potter. Oh, so the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim, if somebody carries his money belt, peel the matter, chayiv a potter, is really totally in another machloikis. If somebody had a mind to carry something la'achrov and he carried it la'achrov, chayiv a potter, says the Gemara, lebe katanoi, but the Gemara says, no, because litamech, according to you, the kamri le, the chacham told Rabbi Yehuda, iat amoida. The Chacham told Rabbi Yehuda and Iyat the Moida as well. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda told the Chacham, are you not Moida? If you carry something behind you, carry behind you, you're going to be Chayiv. What did the Chacham tell Rabbi Yehuda? Are you not Moida that if you carry something Kalacha Yad, you're going to be Potter? Aren't you masking to such a Yisoid? So if you want to tell me that the thing that Rabbi Yehuda told the Chacham, aren't you Moida? They're really not Moida too. So you have to be consistent. The thing that the Chacham told Rabbi Yehuda, aren't you Moida? Rabbi Yehuda wasn't Moida too either. As if to say that Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be moided to the concept of kalach hayad. Frank the Gemara Vatanya can't be, because we learned in a braiso, la'ach hayadoi, viragloi, divri akol, emphasis on divri akol. Everybody holds potter, even Rabbi Yehuda. That means their whole diuk to suggest that maybe the Rabbanon hold la'achrov, and insul la'achrov is potter is not really true. Ella says, the Gemara, you want to know what the machloik is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is? If somebody carries his money belt facing downwards, whether he's going to be chayev or potter, as follows. Really, if someone had a mind to carry something behind him and he carried it behind him, everyone holds he's going to be chayev. Rabbi Yehuda holds he's going to be chayev, the Chachamim holds he's going to be chayev. If somebody carries something with a shinoi, everyone holds it's going to be potter. Keep pligi, the machloik is was bepundesai. If somebody carries something in this money belt, upia lemata, and it was the opening was down. Mar medami leila achrov. Rabbi Yehuda said you're going to be chayiv. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say you're going to be chayiv? Because he compared it. He thought it was most comparable to a case where you had a mind to carry something behind you. You put it there. Ubal leila achrov, and that's where you carried it. Mar medami leila achrov yad viragloi. Whereas the Chachamim felt that it was most comparable to a case where you carried it with a regular shinui kalachayad. And for that reason, they said pata. But as it relates to la'achrav, ubalay la'achrav, the halach is what we thought it was, and that is, you're going to be, according to everybody, you're going to be chayiv. The Mishnah said, the emes amru, ha'isha, a woman that is wearing a sinar, and she carries something inside of it. If she put it in front and ended up going to the back, it doesn't matter the halacha, she's going to be chayav. What's this lashon? Be'emes amru, tana, kol be'emes halachi. Wherever you find this word, be'emes, it means that that's the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda said, af mekabli piskin. The same is true for the mekabli piskin, that if someone's a courier and he's carrying something, it doesn't matter where exactly he's carrying. If he had it on one side, ended up on the other side, in front, and ended up in the back, the halacha is always going to be chayav. Tana, we learned in the braisa, shekein lav. Because it describes in the Malchus, this is the way they used to carry things. If this is the way they used to carry things, so the halacha is, this is going to be considered carrying. It doesn't matter if it moves around. It has nothing to do with the halacha of Mesasek, La'achrav, Balay, Lefanav. This is one of the carve-outs, one of the exceptions to that rule. In this case, the halacha is, you're for sure going to be chayiv. Exhale. So just continuing along the theme of a long week of Daf Yomi, of Divrei Haggadah, with one more raid bite as it relates to Divrei Haggadah. So there was a little bit of Divrei Haggadah in today's Daf. In fact, a classic Gemara. The Gemara brings it here very much bekitzer. It's something that's brought at great length in another place in Shas. In Maseches Nedarim, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara said as follows. Ein Hashchina Shoira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only resides his shechina al chacham, gibar, va'asher, u'bal kaima. On someone that's a chacham, he's wise, he's a gibar, he's strong, he's an asher, he's a gvir, u'bal kaima, and he's tall. He's someone that has presence. Now the truth is, this is mentioned in much greater detail in Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says as follows, Amar Rabbi Yochanan would say, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashra shechinasai el al gibar, va'asher, v'chacham. There it doesn't say u'bal kaima. There it says va'anav. So in order for someone to have hashroyis hashchina, in order for someone to be a navi, he has to check off a few boxes. There's some prerequisites you have to have. Number one, you have to be a chacham. Number two, you have to be a gibar. Number three, you have to be an usher. Number four, you have to be humble. You have to be an on. How do we know all this? V'kulami Moshe. We learn it all from Moshe. And the Gemara goes through a whole discussion. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was a gibar? How do you know he was an usher? How do you know he was a chacham? And how do you know that he was an anav? So the Gemara says, how do you know he was a gibar? Just working through it. Dichsiv, we learn it from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to break the luchos. The pasuk says, va'etfois b'shnei haluchos, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I grabbed the two luchos, va'ashlichem me'al shtei yadai, and I threw them down, va'ashabrim, and I broke them. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu was able to lift the luchos, throw them and break them, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu must have been very strong. You know, we know that because the Gemara says, "V'tani we learned in a brayso, haluchos archan shisha, urechavan shisha, va'avyan shloisha." They were big. They were tremendous. The luchos. A regular person would not have been able to do this. From the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go hagbo with the luchos and then throw them, that means he was very strong. So you see, from here, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a gibor asher. How do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu was an asher? We're saying Moshe Rabbeinu was an asher. He was a navi. Every navi had to be an asher. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was a gvir? So the Gemara says, we learn it out from the pasuk. It says, psalucha. Hashem told Moshe, psalucha shnei luchay savonin karishoinim. That go ahead and make luchay shnias. After Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchays, there were luchay shnias. Who made the luchay shnias? Moshe Rabbeinu did. But Chazal said, psalucha psultan shalucha yehe. The luchays were very valuable. The psoilus was worth a lot of money. Moshe Rabbeinu got the psoilus, and he became a gvir from the psoilus. Chacham. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham? Rav Shmuel Damri Travayu Chamishim Shari Bina Nivru Ba'olam 49, 50. There's 50 sharim of bina that Hashem created the world. The kula nitnu l'Moshe chasa achas. And Moshe Rabbeinu got everything minus a little bit. He got 50 minus one. Shenemer v'tachsireu me'at melikim anav. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was an Adam? D'chsev, v'ish Moshe anav moitz. Rabbi Yochanan said in the Darm Lamed Chesam and Aleph, we have a snippet of it here in Shabbos, today's Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, and that is, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashra Shechinasai Elo Al Gibar V'Asher V'Chacham Mi'anav. In order for someone to have Hashrois HaShechina, in order for someone to be a Navi, he has to be a Gibar, he has to be an Asher, he has to be a Chacham, and he has to be an Anav. Now the truth is, it would be very tempting to think that what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said that a Navi has to be a Chacham, he has to be a Gibor, has to be an Usher. He didn't mean that he really has to be so smart. He certainly didn't mean it has to be strong. And why would it be important for a Navi to be a Gvir? So what he probably meant was what the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos. Everyone knows the Mishnah. Mishnah's in Perek Dalet. Ben Zayma said, Ezeu Chacham, Haloy Min Mikol Adam. Ezeu Asher, Hasamech Bechelkoi. Ezeu Gibar, Hakoy Vishas Yitzroi. These are not Gashmius Milos. These are Ruchnius Milos. This is a Gibar, or someone that's able to overcome his Yetzahara. He has a Melchemes Yetzer, and he always comes out the victor. An Asher means he's a Tefridin man. She's not a Yeshloi man who writes a Messiah. He's not running all over the world chasing. No, he's a Tefridin man. He's an Asher that's Mesamech Bechelka. And even a Chacham, it doesn't mean he was born smart necessarily, but he's a Loimid Mikol Adam. He's someone that appreciates what Chacham is. He works on himself. He's someone that has a Chashivos for Chacham. It was very, very, very tempting to learn the Gemara that way. But it's impossible to say that's the pshat. Because the Gemara brought Raya's. We had Mekairis to it. The Mekairis are Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gibar? Doesn't say because he was Koivish as the Yetzirah. It says because he picked up the Luchais. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gvir? Doesn't say because Moshe was a Samech Bechelkai. It says Psaluchab, Sultan Shaluchayehe. How do you know he was a Chacham? Because he had the Nun Shari Bina, minus a little bit. See, you see clearly from the Gemara, that these Mailois are important. They're prerequisites in order for a Navi to be a Navi. You can't be a Navi without it, even though these are seemingly superficial physical milas. I mean, Yirmiyahu Navi said, "Al yisal chacham b'chachmasai, gibar b'gvurasai, asher ba'asher kiim b'zois yisal la'misal." But there's some virtue to these milas, because you see clearly the only way you could be a Navi is if you were to have these milas. But of course, it's einoy omer eladrishuni. It's something that requires beer. Whether or not a person is a gibar is something that's predetermined long before he's born. Whether or not a person's an usher, tipazu, usher, not an usher. So it would seem almost that a person could be born without the free will to ever attain the status of Navi. And it's certainly something that requires beer. And the truth is that if you look in the Svarim HaKadoshim, from the Gedolei Achronim, there would seem to be two approaches how to tackle this issue. Why is it that a Navi, who is someone that's in a high Ruchnius Madrega, would have to be someone that has the physical Milois, the Milois that are worshipped in the world outside of Beis Medrash, Chacham, Gibar, Asher? Why is that? Why are those important for someone to be a Navi? The first is Yodua, in the name of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. He says in Ruach Chaim, right in the beginning of Perek Dal and Pirkei Avos, and Be'ezus Hashem, I found it in the Chassam Sofer. He says the same thing in the Chedushei Chassam Sofer al Hashas, on this Gemara, Mesechtes Nedarim, Daf Lamed Chesem and Aleph. And that is as follows. Really, it's not important for a Navi to be a Chacham. It's not important for him to be a Gibar. It's not important for him to be an Asher. You know what it's important for him to be? The fourth thing that Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashri Shechinas El HaChacham Gibar Asher V'Anav." What's important is that the Navi be an Anav. Humility was the integral piece. A person couldn't merit Nevuah without a Navi. I mean, you had to have a lot of milas in order to be a Navi. But the one that was the most critical, was Anava. Anava was something that at the end of the day was the driver. If you're an Anav and can see your level of Anivus, that would determine how much Navu are you a Shayach to. Said Chaim Volozhiner and Chassam Sofer, Pi'ish Echad, Belev Echad, that if someone's not a Chacham, and he's not a Gibar, and he's not an Asher, and he's an Anav, he's not an Anav either. Because in order for humility to be humility, you have to be someone that has something to be a Balgaiva with. Narvas, the Halsach Klein, you walk around and you're able to overcome your temptation to be a Balgaiva. That's what Anivus is. He said, if someone doesn't have Chachma, he doesn't have Gvur, he doesn't have Ashiras, or even if you have Chachma and Gvur and not Ashiras, or you have one or three, at the end of the day, real Anava is when you have it all and you're still humble. That's what a Navi is. So you want to know why the Navi had to be a Chacham, Gibor, and Asher? Not because there's any Maila Be'etzem in Chachma and in Gvura in Ashiros. We can do without that. But the point is that in order for a Navi to be a Navi, he needed a Navi. And in order for humility to be humility, you would have to have something to be a Balgaiva with. The Velt says over in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe, that the Kotzke Rebbe said, Hashem gave the Yidden the Torah on Har Sinai. Why Har Sinai? So the Gemara says, because it was the smallest mountain, and it comes to teach us humility. It comes to teach us another 101, that if a person wants to attain Torah, he has to be an Anav. Tzeul Ma, take a look and learn from Har Sinai. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he bypassed all the other mountains. V'lei Hishrish Chinasai El Har Sinai. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, he says, I don't understand. If the Eved Shtun wanted to prove a point, that in order to attain Torah, you have to be humble, you have to be an Anav. So why did he take the smallest mountain? He should have gone to the deepest valley. And that's where he should have given the Torah. He should have gone to the lowest point in the earth. Yam HaMelech, he should have given the Torah. Why did he give the Torah? Why did he give the Torah a mountain? A mountain, even the smallest mountain is big. Why did he go to a mountain? Shouldn't the Torah be given the deepest valley? So the Kotzker Rebbe said, because for a valley to be a Anav is Nishkan Kunz. For a Barak to sign a Anav, das is a Kunz. That's a Nivus. Of course a valley is an Anav. What is he going to do? He said, but this is a mountain, and mountains are usually Balei Gaiva, they have a Shtolz. And Har Sinai was a simple mountain. That was the point. The point was that real Anava, true Anava, is when you have with what to be a Bal Gaiva. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, Perek Dal, Mishnah Aleph, and Perkei Avos, and the Chasam Sofer, and Chedushi Chasam Sofer, Al HaShas, Mesech Nisidorim, Daf Lamed Chesem, and Aleph. That's why the Navi had to be a Chacham and a Gibber and Asher. It has nothing to do with Chacham, nothing to do with Gvur, nothing to do with Ashiris. It's all about Anava. But if you're not a Chacham, Gibber, and Asher, then let's be honest. You're not an Anav either, because of course, what kind of Anav is that? The truth is that there's a lot to be marchiv on this. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know two things that Moshe Rabbeinu had more than anybody else. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the smartest of all people, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Amarti Echkema, V'hi Rechaikim Imeni. He thought I was going to be smart, and he realized it was Rechaikim Imeni, and who knew what even Moshe Rabbeinu knew? Shlomo HaMelech. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the smartest. Shlomo HaMelech goes down as the smartest person of all time. Moshe Rabbeinu has two things where L'chura, his legacy is, there was no one ever greater. V'o'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'od, Mikola Adam Asha'al Pnei Adam. There was no person that was more humble than Moshe Rabbeinu. And what's the other thing? That's one of the Yud Gimel Ani Mamins. Like, come Navi be Yisrael K'Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Anav of all time, and he's the biggest Navi of all time. I don't think it's a coincidence, because the two go together. They go hand in hand. The one Mida more than anything else. The ultimate thing, again, in order for someone to be a Navi, he required a lot. There's a lot of prerequisites to be a Navi. But there seems to be a direct linkage, a direct connection between Anava and between Navua. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the Anav Mikol Adam. Hence, Moshe Rabbeinu was also the Navi Mikol Adam. Either way, that's the first Mahalach that Tavur in the Svarim as it relates to this Kasha. The second Mahalach, and I saw a Dabar Chadash. I recently got a hold of a sefer. It's called Gaon Yaakov. It was written by Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Yosef Chaya Mibavel. It was written by Rabbi Yaakov, who was the son of the Ben Ishchai. So it's Gaon Yaakov, it's one volume, and it's on Divrei Agada in Shas. So on this Gemara in the Darim, Daf Lamed Chesam and Aleph, he discusses this Shaila, that why is it, Hayitachin, that in order for someone to be a Navi, he would have to be a Chacham, Gibber, an Asher, Al Yisalo Chacham B'Chachmasai. So why all of a sudden are these prerequisites for a person to attain the highest levels of Kedusha? See, he says, Pshat, based on a well-known Rosh, on that Gemara. The Rosh on this Gemara says one word that was Marishai Lomos. That's a mafteach to understanding a lot of sugyas that deal with Nevuah. On Rabbi Yochanan's Memra, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashrish Chinasai El Al Gibar Asher V'Chacham V'Ana V'Kulam Yimosha. Says the Rosh in his Pirush on the side of the Gemara, one word. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashrish Chinasai, quote, B'Kfios, end quote. The Rosh is saying that this Tanai that Rabbi Yochanan said, that you have to be a Chacham, Gibber, and Asher in order to be a Navi, is if you're going to be a Navi B'Kfios. If you're going to be someone that's going to constantly have Nevuah. But for someone to have Nevuah B'Mikra, for someone to have Nevuah B'Aroi, to temporarily, to occasionally merit Nevuah, for that you didn't necessarily have to have all these milas. Says Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Mibavel, the Ben Ishchai's son. He says, I see in this Rosh something very Yisodi. I see from this Rosh that really you don't have to be a Chacham, Gibber, and Asher in order to attain a Vor. You don't have to. Because you see clearly that by Roy you can have it without it. That means it's not something that's integral. It's not something that you necessarily have to have. So if that's the case, it's not something that you necessarily have to have. So then why B'Kfios do you have to have it? He says, because who gets Nevuah B'Kfios? Leaders have Nevuah B'Kfios. These were people that wrote Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doiris, people that were manhigim. A Navi didn't have to have these milos. A manik had to have these milos. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashrish chinasai el al-chacham gibbeh v'asher is not true for nevuah per se. It's true for a navi b'kvios. It's true for a leader. A leader had to be a chacham. He had to be a gibbeh, had to be an asher. The nevi'im were often leaders, obviously. If you could tell the future, chances are you're going to end up in a leadership position. Right? People are going to come to you. You're going to end up being a manik. And it's because of the fact that you're a manik that you had to have these milos. Why? Why does a manik have to have it? Because at the end of the day, a manik has to be someone that the people are going to respect. So there are people that they value chachma. And if you're not really, really smart, if you're not a rote scholar, they don't respect you. So the chacham has to be, the navi had to be a chacham. There are people that they're machshev money. If you're a gvir, they listen to you. If you're not a gvir, they don't care about what you have to say. Okay, so the Navi had to be an usher. And there are people that are machshiv gvura. These are the three categories of Olam Hazeh, of the things that people are machshiv, the things that people value. You want to know if the Navi needed it or he didn't need it. The hard raya that the Navi didn't need it, what's the raya Navi didn't need it? Because you see by raya, you could be a Navi without it. It's not something that you had to have. It's not something that you had to have to be a Navi. It was something you needed if you were going to be a Navi b'kfiyos. If you were going to be someone that people were going to come to. If you were going to be someone that was going to give toichacha to Klal Yisrael. So that meant that you were going to be in some sort of leadership position. If you were going to be in some sort of leadership position, it's over there that this was going to be necessary. Otherwise, it wouldn't be necessary. The truth is that this chiddush that Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Yosef Chaya Mibava, the son of the Ben Ishchai, says in his Sefer on Divrei Agad, the Gaon Yaakov, is kemat mefurish. It's kemat mefurish in the Ran, in the Drasha Saran. The Ran wrote a whole Drasha, Drush Hey, on this member of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashrish Chinasa El HaChachem Gibbeh V'Asher, and he says the same gedank, slightly different nusach, but the same gedank, that it's not so much because of the Nevuah per se, but it's more because a person that's a Navi would find himself in a leadership position, and as a leader, you need to have the milos that people are going to respect. I mean that you have to have the milos that people are going to respect. It's for that reason, it's something that would be necessary. The Marsha in Chedushi HaGadis, in Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Yud Aleph on the base asks a bomba kasha. The Gemara says, in order to be a Navi, you had to be a Chacham, you had to be a Gibber, you had to be an Asher. How do we know? We know from Moshe. How do you know Moshe was a Chacham? He was on Vatachsirel, Mat Melikim, he almost had Nun Sharibina. How do you know he was a Gibber? You see, he picked up the Luchais and he threw it down. He must have been very strong. How do you know he was an Asher? Oh, because from Moshe Rabbeinu went and he built the Luchas Shniyos, Psal Lucha Shnei Luchas Havanim Karishainim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him Psal Lucha. Lecha means like lech lecha, lehanascha. You can get something from this. Psoltan shalcha yehe. That's when he became a gvir. Fake the Marsha. So it comes out, when did Moshe Rabbeinu become an usher? When did Moshe Rabbeinu become a gvir? He became a gvir after he was psolucha, the shnei luchais, the luchais shniyos. That means before the luchais shniyos, he wasn't an usher. If he wasn't an usher before the luchais shniyos, how was he a navi before the luchais shniyos? That's like fake the Marsha. It's a bomb kasha. He says, I don't understand. In order to be a Navi, you have to be a Chacham, you have to be a Gibor, you have to be an Asher, right? Without these Milos, you can't be a Navi. How do we know? We know from Moshe. When did Moshe become an Asher? When did he become a Gvir? By the Luchas Shniyos. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying Nevuah for a long time before the Luchas Shniyos. Hashem revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh. He goes back to the Yidden, the Echishme and Iparoi, Vani Aral Sfasayim, and then you have the Makos, and then you have Kriyas Yamsov, and then Moshe Rabbeinu is Nigash Allah HaRafel 40 days, Lachem Lo Yachalti. And then you have Shvirus Haluchos on Shiva Asim Tammuz, way after the Yidden left Mitzrayim. So what's going on over here? How did Moshe Rabbeinu have Nevuah before that? If you need to be an Asher in order to have Nevuah, how did Moshe Rabbeinu have Nevuah before that? So before the Marsha's Teretz, just to digress for 1 second, to put a little bit of the, we spoke at so much raid this week, you know, Be'ezus Hashem, but just to put a little bit together. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gevir. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gevir. I saw, there's a sefer, it's called Yad David. So the Yad David was written by Rabbi David Oppenheim. Rabbi David Oppenheim, who we've mentioned a few times, he was the Rav in Prague before Rabbi Cheskel Landau, before the Noida B'Yehuda. He was a big guy, and he was also a big mekubel. So they're putting out some of his ksavim now. So there's a sefer called Yad David. It's one volume, and it's a pirush al haTorah. So in the sefer Yad David, he discusses a very, very mysterious gemara, another gemara that we've talked about a lot together. The gemara is in Masechtas Ma'ariv Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The gemara says, Vayikanu L'moshe b'machane l'harin k'doish Hashem. So what does it mean, vayikanu? So the Gemara says something very, very surprising. The word vayikanu l'moshe means, it's miloshin kinui, of mesachta soita fame. as in kinoy and stira. What's kinoy? If a man sees his wife talking to another man and he suspects that maybe something inappropriate is going on, so he can do kinoy. He can warn her and say, altistri mishplani. If she doesn't listen and she does stira anyways, mei saita, and then you have the whole parasha of saita. Says the Gemara, you know what it means, vayikanu lamoisha. So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, melamed shekol echad kino le'ishtoy mimoisha. He says that everybody did kinoy to their wives from Moshe. Everybody suspected that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was being nichshol in Eishes Ish. So people literally, they warned their wives, stay away from, if I see you talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to be worried. Literally, kinoy. They did kinoy with Edim. Kinoy has to be done with Edim. They did kinoy with Edim. This is what they did. And you learn this Gemara. What's, how is it possible? He says, how could people have been choshed Moshe? So said Rav David Oppenheim, okay, let's say people are choshed Moshe. Listen, people are always going to be choshed people. Right? The Chassam Sofer says that he thinks the hardest mitzvah in the Torah to be Mekayim is V'yisin Nikiyah Me'ashem U'Miyisrael. A Yid has an obligation to be knocking the eyes of people. And the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva Chelek Vav, he said it's the hardest mitzvah in the Torah. And he said there are many times he's even thought about it and he thinks that it's not even possible. And he doesn't think it's possible. He doesn't think it's possible for a person to have a perfect reputation. It doesn't matter who you are. He says, to the contrary, the better you are, the more vulnerable you are, that the Leitzoni Adar are going to try to find something wrong with you. Your heart could be in the right place. You can give yourself up 10,000% for the Tzibur. There are always going to be Leitzoni Adar that are going to think that you're doing it for the COVID, you're doing it for all the wrong things. And the Chassam Sofer says, V'harbe pamim chashavti. He says, I often thought that maybe that's what Chazal meant when they said, Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. Maybe that's what they meant. Maybe they meant, what do you mean? Mechatesi. You can't go through life without eating nevela? You could. But you can't go through life without being mekayim v'yisim nekiyim. Because inevitably, somewhere along the lines, you're going to do something that's going to make people suspicious. But the bottom line is, we know that's the real world, v'yisim nekiyim. But Rav David Oppenheim, the Rav in Prague, asked, he says, I don't know. He was also Rav in Nicklausburg at one point. He says, I don't understand. He says, v'shtein it. He says, the Torah had to tell it to me. Why did Chazal have to do this? Why do we need to hear this Lashon Hara? These are probably a few Mishagoyim that were walking around saying it. These are the Erev Rav that are talking this way. So why did the Chazal, my cotton, Yud Ches Amid Beis, everyone has to have somewhere in the back of their mind that people will chayish and maishra. It bothered him very, very much. So he just said one very interesting thing. He said he found in the sefer Kaftav Aferach. So Kaftav Aferach, he said, is a Kabbalah sefer. It was written by a guy whose name was Rabbi Shturi ben Ramosha Haparchi. That was his name. And the sefer was called Kaftav Aferach. And over there he says, above our pay grade, raid about Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says like this, quote, Moshe Rabbeinu hu oiroi shaloylam, v'hu noilat b'yoy mashlishi. He was born on a Tuesday, Gimel Shoy Salayayim, in the third hour of the day. This is what he says. His Ayin Shom, he says his Barichos, he has a Pshad in it, Al Pikabola. But this is what we need. Moshe Rabbeinu was born on a Tuesday. He was born B'yayim HaShlishi, and now he was born on a Tuesday, it was in the third hour of the day. So he says, based on this, he says, maybe I could suggest a little bit of a mahalach, why people were choshen Moshe Rabbeinu. Because as the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vavam and Aleph, the Gemara says like this, Kosev HaPinkasei de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we've spoken a lot about the Pinkas, the ledger of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also had a Pinkas. He also had a ledger. And this is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wrote on his ledger. He said, Hayman de b'chad b'shaba, if somebody is born on a Sunday, he's born on a Sunday, hey gavar v'loy chadabe. He's going to be a person that has one nature. So he's not going to have different personalities. He's going to have one nature. Says the Gemara, what if someone's born on a Tuesday? He's going to be Azoy. What if somebody's born on a Monday? What about Tuesday? Hayman the Plasib Shabbat. Someone's born on Tuesday. Hey, Gvar Ater. He's going to be a Gevir. V'zanoy Yeheh. And he's also going to be a Noyef. He's going to be someone that's involved in Znus. What does Tuesday have to do with money? And what does it have to do with Znus? My timer. Mishum de Ibru Be'asavim. Because that's when grass was created. So in grass, you see Pru'ervu. And in grass, that's Parnasa. So the point is that you see in grass, meaning that was created on Tuesday, someone that has that, that's what's going to happen. This is what Mishua Ben Levi said. So the Gemara says, Amalu Rab Chanina. Rab Chanina said, Puku Amru Leila Barli Voy. Go tell Bar Levi, as in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Loi Mazel Yam Garim is wrong. That a person's traits depend on something astrologically, but not the day that he's born, Ela Mazel Shogayim, but rather the hour that he's born. And he went on to list, did Rabbi Chanina, what hour is going to determine who you are? And he said, how does a person know if he's going to be a Gvir and he's going to be a Noyev if he's born in the hour of Noiga? Noiga is a certain mazel, and if someone is born in Noiga, that hour, that hour, that's when he's going to have it. Incidentally, you have here another Gemara where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is giving us inside information. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is telling us things that really only the Malachim should know. In the end of the second parak of Masechtas Nedarim, these are really things that human beings are not supposed to know. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was tapped in, as we spoke about early in the week. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said it has to do with the day, Tuesday, and Rabbi Chanina said it has to do with the day, it has to do with the hour. Certain hours can cause a person to be a certain way. Which hour? The hour that's Mazel Noiga. So Rabbi David Oppenheim says that there's a Rashi that we're going to learn soon. Shabbos Tav Kuf Chof Tes Amid Bey. It's probably a Rashi we're going to skip soon. But Rashi over there, it's a long astrology Rashi. So Rashi over there says that Tuesday, on the third hour of the day, is Mazel Noiga. It's Mazel Noiga. See, he says it comes out like this. The Kafta Veferach, Rabbi Shturi Aparchi said, what did he say? He said that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Yom Gimel, he was born on Tuesday, in the third hour of the day. According to both Shitas, whether it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, or whether it's Rabbi Chanina, that person is going to have two milos. He's going to be a gevir, and he's going to be someone that's involved in Yon Ezenus. Moshe Rabbeinu was a gevir. When they saw that he was a gevir, and they knew that he was born b'mazel noiga, they knew he was born b'yoy mashlishi, they knew he was born in the third hour, they said something doesn't look good. Because here, I know he was born in that time, and according to both days, this is a zman of Ashirus and Znus. And Moshe Rabbeinu has the Ashirus. Maybe he has the Znus as well. That's why they were choshed him. It wasn't so much the way Moshe Rabbeinu conducted himself. Chas v'shalom. They were making a point. They were playing with the mazalos. And they thought, based on Moshe Rabbeinu's mazal, we knew he was born at that time, and the mazal is playing itself out that way, that means he could be vulnerable. And if he could be vulnerable, Yikanu Lishtoi, they had to warn their wives. Not because they suspected Moshe, that wasn't the point. Moshe never did something that would make them suspect them. Chas v'shalom. And if people thought that way, Chazal would have not told it to us. The Chazal were telling us in a remez, what the Sefer Kafta of Aferach said, what Rav Shturi ben Ramosha Aparchi said, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the third day in the third hour. Of course, what came to mind, I mean, how could it not, is the Gemara that we learned, the Gemara in Daf Pei Chesem and Aleph, where the Gemara says there was a Yid from the Galil, from the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. So he comes to Bavel and he started halting a drasha. And what was the drasha that he held? He said that Klal Yisrael, they're the Am Tlisoi, they got the Urien Tlisoi, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third born, Rabbi Yosef used to eat an Igla Tilsa, and we were talking about threes. Here we have two more threes. We have a three. Moshe Rabbeinu was born on a Tuesday, and Moshe Rabbeinu was born in the third hour of the day. Again, I think it gives a little richness to Tuesday being Yom Shehuch B'Bai Ki Toiv, that there's a concept of Ki Toiv when it comes to Yom HaShlishi, that there's something about a Tuesday. It's not just another day. There's something about the Tuesday, Yom Tlisai, Moshe Rabbeinu, again and again and again. You find the same theme of Tlisai. But going back to the Marshal's Kasha, what was the Marshal's Kasha? In order to be a Navi, you had to be a Chacham. You had to be a Gibar, you had to be an Asher. How do you know from Moshe? If Moshe was, everybody has to be. Okay, let's accept that. That Anacha. That's Rabbi Yochanan said in the Dharm, Lamed Chesem Aleph. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu was an Asher? By the Luchei Shniyos, he became a Gvir. Then how was Moshe Rabbeinu a Navi before the Luchei Shniyos? How was Moshe Rabbeinu a Navi before the Luchei Shniyos? So I was thinking, maybe the Pshat's Pshashet. Lefi what Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the Ben Ishchai, said. And we said, really, it's Mefurish Kemat in the Drosh Saran and Drosh Hey. Now, what's the reason that a Navi had to have these milos? The reason he had to have these milos is that people would listen to him. People would take him seriously. Because, L'davinenu, sometimes you could be a big Talmud Chacham, but if you're not a Gibar and you're not an Usher, people won't necessarily take you so seriously. So in order to get the Am, to be able to rally the troops and be a leader that Shavu L'chol Nefesh, you had to have the milos that are Shavu L'chol Nefesh. You have to be able to check off all the boxes. So depending on who you are, I have the milo that I need, that you're looking for. That's what the manik, that's what the leader had to have. So I was thinking, it could be that was only after Shviras Haluchos. It could be before Shviras Haluchos. What was the initial intent? The initial intent was that the Yidden were going to get the Luchos Rishonos, Ksuvim Be'etzpel Lekim. The Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin, Umali Lo Nishtabra Haluchos, Ein Uma V'Loshen Sheilates Banu. There would have been no Shichas HaTorah. The Yidden, plan A was supposed to be on a much, 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 much higher level. If the Yidden would have been on the Madrega of Luchos Rishonos, then I don't think Moshe Rabbeinu would have had to been a Gevir. Because the Yidden would have been spiritually in a place where they would have respected Moshe Rabbeinu for who he was, and they wouldn't need him to have something superficial, something that Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, Al Yisalul Asher Ba'Ashroi. Why would the Navi? You need it for the Hamoinam. They need it. It's not needed for the people that are on the highest madrigas. Before Shviras Haluchas, all of Klal Yisrael was on the highest madriga. So if all of Klal Yisrael was on the highest madriga, if they were all in that place, so it wasn't something that was going to be necessary. You know when it became necessary? It became necessary after the Shviras Haluchas. After the Shviras Haluchas, the Yidden dropped the madriga. They dropped tremendously. Because they dropped tremendously, so it was at that point, that it was going to be necessary. The point is that it could be Enochinami before Shviras Haluchas. It wasn't going to be necessary. It was something that only became necessary after the Shviras Haluchas. Again, just to summarize, we had a Gemara very bekitzer in today's daf. More barichos in the Darim Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu Masher Shchinasoi El Al Chacham Gibar Asher Va'ana VeKulam Yemaisha." It's clear in the Gemara that a Chacham is a real Chacham. A Gibar is not the Kovish Asitzra. He's a real Gibar. An Asher is not just a Sameach Bechelkoi, but he's someone that's a real Asher. Incidentally, the Navi presumably had to be a Kovish Asitzra as well. He had to be a Sameach Bechelkoi as well, because he had to have Ruchnius Milus, of course. Take a look at the Rambam, then the Vilchas Yisoydi HaTorah, he lays it out. But the point is, in addition to that, you had to have these physical Milus. The question is, why? Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, Al Yisalu Chacham Bechachmasai. These are things that are predetermined, Arbaim Yom Koidim Yitziris HaVlad. How could they dictate a person's free will to be a Navi or to not be a Navi? So we spoke at two Mahalchim. The first one was from Chaim Volozhin in the beginning of the fourth parak in Pirkei Avos, where Chaim Volozhin says, and the Chassam Sofer says it as well, Chedushei Chassam Sofer al Hashas, Nedarim Lamed Chesam Aleph, and that is really the punchline was Anav. But Anivus has to be a real Anivus. If someone is not a Chacham Gibbe V'Asher, then his humility, his Anava, is not real humility. And being that it Anav is what determines it, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anav, that's why he was the greatest Navi. It's like the Kotzker Rebbe said, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah on our sin, he didn't find the deepest valley. What he did was he found the smallest mountain, because that's a kunst for a mountain to be an Anav. Now we're talking, for a valley to be an Anav, obviously. Kilokach Natsarta. What are you going to be a Balgaiva with? But the point was Anava. That was the point. And you need those things so that the Anava should be meaningful, so that it should be real Anava. The second Mahalach that we said over for Rabbeinu Yaakov, the son of the Ben Ishchai and his Sefer Goyin Yaakov, the aside of which is really, really Mavur already in the Ran, in Drush Hay, in the Drush Haran, and that is that the reason it was important for a person to have these Milos is not for the Navi to be a Navi per se. You can have Navua, and if you're going to be a Navi for yourself, and like the Rush says, if it's not going to be Bekfios, it's not necessary. It's only when it's Bekfios, when you're in a leadership position, you have to be a person that the people can put their faith in, people will look up to you. If no one's going to look up to you, then you're not going to be able to lead. And that's why this was important. So therefore, you had to have this Milo. So we were Mice, and maybe that's why Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't have to be an usher until the Luchai Shniyas, because it was Davka by the Luchai Shniyas after the Shviras HaLuchais where Klal Yisrael dropped in Madrega. That's when it became necessary for a leader to have some superficial characteristics in order for him to be able to properly lead.